5 or 10 years that just settle in to a familiar place, and they have no more fire burning in them. And they're just going through the motions of serving God. I said, God, I don't want to be one of those ones that's just going through the motion. Please don't let that happen to me. And I'm going to tell you, every now and then, the Lord had to pay me a visit. When I start slipping and I start losing my zeal, all it takes is a little time in the presence of God and you'll get it all back. Amen. All it takes is you rededicating yourself to the word and getting back in that word and committing yourself to the house of God. David said, the zeal of your house have consumed me. He was zealous about the house of God. He had a great zeal about coming to the place of worship. And we've seen in our day, people have lost their zeal for the house of God. They can take it or leave it. They can turn the TV on and go to church. Get on the internet and go to church. And they have no affection for the house of God. They're not faithful to it anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. The house of God is important to God. If it ain't important to us, let's all watch TV. Let's all get on the internet. What kind of work would we do for the Lord that way? You have to have a zeal for God and the things that please Him. And I like what Jesus said. I do always those things that please Him, those things that He's in agreement with. So if God is not in agreement with it, I ain't going to be doing it. And you see, there'll be some people say, well, yeah, I know the Lord ain't agreeing with this here, but you know what? They're satisfying their flesh. Yeah, but you know, the Lord know I got needs. I know I ain't living right now, but, you know, the Lord understand. Well, what He understand is that you're just selfish and you're just thinking about yourself and you haven't considered Him and you don't fear Him. If you can live a sinful lifestyle and it don't bother you, you have lost the fear of God. If you can do what you're doing and know God watching you and it don't bother you no more, I'd be scared. If you can do something you know is wrong and you can do it and you say, well, you know, the Lord watching, you say, well, I don't care if you, I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble. You're being taken captive. You're being swept away. So consider yourself. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing, that are agreeable in His sight. We do those things. Notice here, whatever we do in His sight. You see, that was another thing that the zeal of God brings into your life is an awareness of God's presence that you have to honor and you have to reverence. I can remember after I got saved, that the devil would come and entice me with my former lifestyle, my former way of living. And he would say, go do this. And I think about it and I say, well, if I did that, I had to do it with God watching me. Can't do that. Mm-mm. No, I had to do that with God. No, I can't do that with God watching me. No. I had a fear of God, and that was reverence. See, that reverence protects you and becomes a boundary for you, a wall of protection against sin. Amen? When you have a desire to please Him, there's another desire that goes hand in hand with that desire. When you really have a desire to please God, you also have a desire to obey. You can't desire to please Him and not be obedient. If you really desire to please God, then you want to do what He says.
Amen.
Amen. You remember Peter and them when they were threatened, they was in a hard place. And they said, we command you not to teach and preach in that name anymore. And they said, hey, Which is it better to obey you or God? We ought to obey God rather than man. We're going to keep doing what God told us. No matter what you do to us, we are not going to stop obeying God. What happened? They had such a zeal on the inside of them that wasn't even afraid of dying. Before Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus. But now he got that power on the inside. That zeal come from the Holy Spirit. Now he got that zeal in him. He said, y'all do what you want to do, but we can obey God. He ain't ashamed of Jesus now. He's the one that got up and preached on the day of Pentecost. The coward. The coward turned bold. The coward turned fearless. Number five, consider your end. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So when you consider your ways, also consider your end. In other words, if I keep living this way, what's going to be the end? What's going to be the reward of my lifestyle at the end? So you need to consider the end. God will show you the end. You see, the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, God showed me my end. He told me, he said, boy, you turn this car around, because he just showed me. He said, on the path that you're on, he said, you're going to end up dead or in jail. And I could see way down that road there. I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't even doing any criminal type stuff. I wasn't even a bad person. But the Lord let me see way down the road that if I continued on this path, that I was heading for destruction. And he shouted at me. He said, boy, turn the car around right now. And you go back to that Bible study where that man told you he's going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit. I whipped it around. I said, I don't want to die. I don't want to go to jail. I definitely didn't want to go to jail. I believe jail scared me more than death. It did. Because an experience I had when I was about 7, it took us up a little field trip in school. I lingered behind. I didn't stay up with the group. It was going slow because I was really watching everything in there. And one of them reached his hand through the bars. Said, come here, boy. Come in here, I'm going to get you. Boy, you talk about scared me. That man scared the hell out of me. I started crying and running. He said, you come in here, I'm going to get you. I thank God for that man. I don't know who he is. But ever since then, I said, look, my friend talking about doing anything illegal, let me out the car right now. I ain't going to. Look, y'all go ahead. Oh, I smell pot in that. No. I'll walk home. I was at a party in Boys one night and with my buddies, you know, we all went there and they got hooked up with some of them guys up there and they smoking marijuana, you know, and I smell that stuff when I was getting ready to get in the car, we getting ready to go home. I said, oh no, I said, man, I ain't getting into y'all smoke. Y'all know I don't do that. Oh, T is going to be all right. Ain't nobody going to give you none, you know. T is going to be all right. We know you don't do that. Just come on, get in. I said, man, if the police stop y'all going to jail. I ain't going to jail for nobody. How you going to get home? I don't know. I'm going to call my mama. And that's what I call my mama. Mama, come get me. My mama had to drive by 12 o'clock at night. Come get me from Boys. Going to jail. I ain't doing nothing illegal. I just want to ask you today, are you on the right track? You can answer that. Are you on the right track? Are you running the race the Lord set before you? Where are your current actions going to lead you? What would be your final outcome? Will you finish your course with joy on the current path you're on? Just answer the question. Where are you? What's going to be the final outcome? Are you going to be with Jesus? What's the proper response to this message today? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give it to you from Jesus. In Revelation 3:19-20, it says, those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent. Change your mind and attitude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he will eat with me. So Jesus said here, he give us the key to how to get your zeal restored. He said to repent, be zealous, and do the first works. That's what he said. He told them how to correct what was wrong. Jesus said, you left your first love. This church was doing so good. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has not, and has found them liars. And you have borne and has had patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. So you can be doing that, working, laboring, having patience, living by faith, walking in love, putting away evil. You can learn to do all of these things out of habit and not out of desire for God. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. So all the works, all the labor, all the walking in love, all of that, you still got to maintain your zeal for God. This is what he's talking to them about. So then he deals them the solution. He said, remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Amen.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Yeah.